We're in part four of the Gospel for Outsiders, and these are sermons that you'd probably usually hear at Christmas, but God's Word is important all year round, and these stories shouldn't just be Christmas stories. They should be on our hearts all the time. And so these things happened, and by the way, Mary was just pregnant at this time. So not that she was born, not that Jesus was really born in December. We don't know exactly when Jesus was born, but it was probably more October time. But we just tacked onto a pagan holiday and decided to celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December, which is fine because we're honoring the birth of our Savior. But then we don't preach or don't get lessons on things like this. But when you preach through books of the Bible, you've got to do it when it comes up. So you don't have much of a choice when you're going to get to it. We're going to be in Easter, and we're going to be talking about the second part because next week we're going to talk about John. His name is John. The first part of that text, and then we're going to talk another song, because there's another song. There's a lot of songs at Christmas, but these are the first hymns that were sung, and this was, again, before Jesus was born, because so they weren't at that time of the year. So you've got to think, Mary was just pregnant when this is going to happen, the text we're in today. It wasn't like this happened at Christmas. So why is it only Christmas text? This had to happen 9 months before. So if Jesus was born, by the way, in December, we're preaching this message at exactly the right time, because this is when Mary would have got pregnant. It's 9 months away to Christmas. So that, just so you know, it's only 9 months till Christmas. But this is when she would have got pregnant if Jesus had been born in December, but Jesus wasn't born in December. So we don't know his exact date, and we don't need to know. We know that we celebrate at that time of year. And we have questions. I don't know about you, but I ask what God is like. Do you ask what God is like? Actually, God is like, because it's funny, because we give God attributes like the hand of God. God doesn't have any hands, you know, but we'll say it was the hand of God. God is Jesus. God has hands, but God the Father, no hands. He's spirit. He is undescribable. But so because we're human and we have to kind of describe him, even in Scripture, we've gave God human characteristics. What do you think about when you think about God? What do you really think about when you think about God? Because you should be thinking about God all the time, by the way. Not just on Sundays for an hour and 45 minutes while we're at church, but every single minute of every single day, God should be on your mind in some way, shape, or form. See, we all have views. There's people that don't think that they would say God is non-existent. There is no such thing as God. And they try to explain all of this came out of nothing. But the funny thing about science and scientists, even people that were denying that there was a creator, are now coming around and saying, they don't believe in God as we believe in God, but they think there was something that created all of this because of the impossibilities of it just happening by happenstance. Some people think he's distant. I think he's everywhere. I think no matter where I am, he is. And if you start thinking like that, you will probably start behaving a little bit different if you know that God is going everywhere with you. Some people give him the attribute that he's a loving God. And I think he is a loving God. Some people say he's an angry God. Or, this is my favorite, he was angry in the Old Testament, he's loving in the New Testament. Well, guess what? God is angry. God is loving. And he's the only being on that's ever existed that can be both at the same time. I'm not capable of it. Because when I'm angry, I'm not loving. But if I'm loving, I'm not angry. I have to pick and choose. God doesn't. Do you know why we're going to talk about the birth of Mary and how she praises God in a minute? But do you know why she can do that? Because she worships a God that she knows is angry at sin in the universe. And she's been brought up, taught this, that one day a woman is going to bear the Savior of the world. This goes all the way back to the Old Testament, to Genesis 3, when God says that the woman is going to bear a son. These are my paraphrase. That's gonna crush the serpent's head. It goes all the way back to that day. And Eve probably thought when she had Cain, is it going to be Cain? Because there was no talk of a virgin back then at that point. Was it going to be Cain? But the devil, being slippery, had Cain kill his brother Abel. And then God replaces Cain with Seth. And she probably thinks, is Seth going to be the one that crushes the serpent's head? No. And we can go all the way the Old Testament thinking, these women that had children that were thinking, is this going to be the one that crushes the serpent's head? Is this going to be the one that takes care of the sins of the world? And Mary's heard all of these stories all of her life. But do you know what's funny? Is God doesn't take the high and mighty, does he? Throughout the history of the Old Testament, which you should read because it will give you the basis of all of this, okay, that God doesn't pick the ones that we would pick. He doesn't pick the ones that were chosen. But he doesn't. He picks the ones that we go, why, God, why are you choosing these people? That's what we would ask. We would think that he would come to a person who was well established. But no, he comes to what? A little girl. A nobody. Because God does great things through nobodies. That's why I picked that song today, because we're all nobodies. And God could do great things with you if you allow him to, just like Mary allowed God to use her. We talked about that last week, that how Mary allowed God to use her, and that we need to allow God to use us if we want to be a part of his big plan. That's what we get. Okay? We get to choose them things. See, I personally don't believe that I got to choose whether I followed God or not, but I get to choose whether I participate in the program. Like, I participate if he wants to use me, but I've got to say yes, I want to be used by you. I get to choose. I get to hold back if I want. But why would I want to miss out on what God has got for me? Because it's got to be better than my choices. And I think Mary understood that as we talked last week. Mary said, yes, let it be. Use me to carry your son. Even if I'm disgraced because I'm following you and your wishes, let it be, God, because you are my king, not this world. I don't care what this world thinks of me. I care, God, what you think of me. So, said all that to start. In verse 39 through 45, chapter 1. In those days, Mary arose. So basically, right after she speaks to, because she didn't know, I presume that she didn't even know that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant because of the conversation she had. Okay? I think she found out and she's like, wow, I've got to share this news. I think men do it too, but if you're a woman and you've been pregnant, the first person you want to share it with somebody. The fact that you have carrying her human life in there, it's instinctively that you want to share this with you. Well, who's she going to share this with? Who's going to understand her? Elizabeth's going to understand her because Elizabeth is part of all of what's going on. Because Elizabeth was barren, but now she's pregnant, so she's going to understand when Mary goes there and says, Mary's going to announce that she's pregnant to Elizabeth. We'll find out that didn't happen the way Mary thought it was going to happen. But Mary was going there to tell her cousin, hey, I'm pregnant with God's child. And by the way, I hear you are pregnant because you're 6 months pregnant. So now you're starting to show and you're pregnant. And your son is going to make the way for my son. But that's not how it went down. So she's heading up to the hill country, to the town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And this would have been a regular greeting because, by the way, this was out of respect. Because when you were the visitor, not just the visitor, but the younger person in the room, you were the person who greeted the older person. So she's doing what it is proper. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, her baby leaped. I love that it says leaped and doesn't say it. It just moved. It leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled immediately with the Holy Spirit because there was so much power of the Holy Spirit inside of the baby John, 6 months old in the womb, John, that it couldn't be contained inside of him when he was in the presence of his master, Jesus. And by the way, Jesus would have been about this big, maybe. He was an embryo. And at the beginning of a baby, the very beginning, like the beginning, you know. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I'm not sure that Mary had told her she's pregnant at this point, by the way. I think that the Holy Spirit has informed her that she's in the presence of Jesus at this point. It wasn't like this was a conversation. And if you've been pregnant, babies kick all the time. So this had to be something different than that. And usually the mother's emotions control the baby's emotions, not vice versa, usually. And this baby has just leaped inside of her. And she is telling her that she is blessed. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord, because she understood who was inside of Mary, should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Elizabeth gets it. I mean, she had a little bit of help, but she gets it. I think sometimes we don't get it. And we're living on this side of the cross. We have all of this that we can look at and read. We should understand this. What was going on? See, this is when the extraordinary meets the ordinary. See, it was ordinary. There's extraordinary things going on and ordinary things going on all at the same time. Because Elizabeth being pregnant, that happened naturally, by the way. That was a mom and dad thing. The birds and the bees thing. We don't need to get into that part of it. But they actually naturally made a baby. But the unnatural thing is that Elizabeth was barren and was old. And I think when the Bible says you're old, you're like old. I mean, the Bible says you're old. You are old, not just old. But she was out of, the extraordinary thing is she was not allowed, she was not going to have a baby by a natural means. But God intervened and made her womb and her eggs viable again. And obviously made the man stuff viable again. And that made a baby. Because God intervened. That's extraordinary. And then we have Mary comes in. And how extraordinary is this? It's not extraordinary that she's pregnant. How she's pregnant is extraordinary. What she's pregnant with, she's carrying God inside of her. I mean, what an honor. No wonder Elizabeth says she's blessed. The sad thing about this is where they get Mariology from. That we need Jesus and Mary to be saved. This is where it comes from. Because they misinterpret scripture. Because we'll find out when Mary starts to sing, her view on what's happening. But this is where it gets mixed up. Yes, she's blessed because she got chose by God, by grace, to carry the Son of God, Jesus. Not because she was a righteous person. Not because she was extremely good. I'm sure Mary was just as sinful as every other human being that lived in them days. But God said, Mary is my child that I'm going to choose to make this go forward, because she's a nobody that I am going to use to create the somebody that I want everybody to know, that is the Savior of the world. That is what's extraordinary. That God, do you think God needed to use a woman to make Jesus? He made man out of dust. All he needed for Eve was a rib. God didn't need to say, hey, my plan is I'm going to use a woman. He chose to do it that way because God wanted it to go this way. Because now he's fully human and fully God. He had to live every aspect until he died of a human being would live. He even lived the part of the womb where we're questioning in this day and age, which blows my mind, whether it's actually a child until it comes out. Which disgusts me. That you could ever think that it's not a child inside the womb. People who say, oh, it's just a parasite. It can be gotten rid of. And by the way, this is the saddest thing. It's not sad that non-Christians say that. It's sad when Christians are on that bandwagon where they're okay. It's the woman's body. She can do whatever she wants. Because there's churches that are pro-abortion, by the way. I mean, I'm glad that Mary didn't decide to have an abortion. Have you ever thought about that? She could have quietly got rid of that baby somehow. There was means and ways back then. If she didn't want to be used by God, I mean, God would have found another way, but he didn't need to. He knew what was going to happen. But really, he's the Savior. Life is life. Goes on to say, that's not supposed to be there. How does that text get there? I've got to find. There. Did you just do that for me, John? Oh, I must have magically did it. And Mary said, and she goes into song, okay, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. It doesn't magnify herself, does it? She doesn't say how great I am because God chose me. You know how many people think like that? That I'm great because God chose me to use me. I think the people that act like that, and there is people out there that act like that, are not chosen by God. They're using God for the wrong reason. But Mary goes straight into worship. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She's already grasping that the child that she's carrying is the Savior of the world. Now, I don't know if she knows what he's going to have to do at this point. I actually think we find out in a few weeks that when Simeon does his song, that the prophecy that's in his song that he sings is come true at the cross. And I think Mary realizes, oh, this is what Simeon was saying. But at this point, I don't think she realized what the Savior had to do to save her. I don't think she fully understood that. But she knew that she was carrying the Savior of the world. And we're going to sing, Mary, Did You Know? And I'm going to tell you now, Mary did know. Mary did know. There was no way she couldn't. I mean, the angel came to her and told her. Mary would have had to got hit on the head really hard and had amnesia to forget what the angel had told her. And obviously, the scripture that Bob read, Joseph marries her quietly and doesn't know her until after Jesus is born. That's why we know Mary wasn't a virgin all of her life, by the way. Because it said he didn't know her until after Jesus was born. And the word know is yes. You get the drift. They knew each other after Jesus was born. Instead of after the marriage ceremony, they waited till Jesus was born. And then had some more children. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Why is she saying she's blessed? Not because of anything she's done, but because God has used her. And holy is his name. We could learn a lot from Mary because this is a song, but it's also a prayer, a praise in song. See, we should turn to adoration and worship like Mary does, knowing that our Savior came in the form of a baby. So he could live a life that we could not live. To die a death that we deserve. See, that's the hard thing most people don't get to wrap their heads around. That we deserved the beating. We deserved the punishment. We deserved the nails in our wrists and our ankles. We deserve to carry the crossbeam. We deserved all that. We deserve to burn in the fiery pits of hell, according to Scripture, because none are righteous. The Bible tells us that. None are righteous except one. So because God chooses you, and he saves you, okay, you should adore him and worship him. That's why it drives me crazy sometimes when we're singing worship songs and, oh, maybe we don't like that worship song, so we're not going to sing along to that worship song because we don't like it. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't come to church because you like church. If you come to church because it's about you, you're coming to church for the wrong reason. You come to church for one reason alone, to worship God. In every aspect of church, that is what church exists for, to honor and worship God. And if we don't get that right, We're messed up. I nearly said a bad word. We're messed up. Church isn't about us. It's not about what I like. If you say, when you talk about church, well, that I don't like that, then it's about you. It's not about God. I don't have to like it. I come to church not because I have to. Yeah, I get paid to come up here and preach, but I don't come here because I have to. I could go work somewhere else. It's not like I haven't got other skills that I could use to make money. I do this because God called me to do it. I would do this whether I got paid or didn't get paid. God gave me a gift. And he gave me lots of gifts. So I come to worship, to come to church, to worship him as creator God, as savior of the world. Because that's who he is. I want to be like Mary. I want to lift up my voice to him. I can't even sing, but I will sing to every single song. Do you know why? Not because I like them. Because I'm singing to my God. And he doesn't care, by the way, whether I can sing in tune. I probably sound sweet to God, not to you. That's okay. That's okay. I don't have to be perfect. God will take me as I am. He will take you as you are. That's why it's so hard when you look around and you see people and they're not getting involved in the worship. Yet you take them to a concert. You take them to a sports event. You take them to any kind of show and they're involved. I remember listening to a sermon one day and these people were visiting. This pastor had been to India. And I don't know about you, but I love Indian food, but I know the culture. And they worship many different gods. So you can walk down the street or ride a scooter down the street, whatever, and you'll see all these places where you can get a chicken to cut the head off and give it as a sacrifice. Right? And this person says, well, I can't believe all this worship that goes on there. So now the pastor that's serving in India, that's Indian, is invited to America. And the pastor thought it would be cool and would be to take him somewhere that was American. So he takes him to an NFL football game. And guess what the Indian pastor said to him? I can't believe that all these people in the stadium are worshiping these young boys. I mean, isn't it crazy? We spend money on jerseys with names on them, and we, basically we're worshiping teenage boys or young men, yet we can't lift our hands in church because somebody might look at us weird. We can't sing out loud because, oh, we might not sound in tune. But we can go, go Bears, go Packers, go Saints, go whatever, and get really into that. But we're sourpusses when it comes to church. I think that upsets God, by the way. Because he goes, I know it's in you because I put it there. I put it there. And I don't think there's anything wrong with getting into football or sports. But you should have at least that much passion or more when it comes to worshiping God, seeing as he created the universe. I want to adore God and worship him like Mary does in this song. I want to know that I'm blessed because of what God is doing in my life and how he's using me, because he's using each and every one of us. We should be able to sing praises like Mary, we don't have to carry the Son of God to do this. We literally have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So we have a portion of God, the Trinity, living inside of us if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. So Mary, yes, may have Jesus inside her womb. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Stop chaining it down. Let it take over your life. Be like Elizabeth and let it fill you with excitement. I can't even see a clock, so you really messed up today. I took everything off the back wall, so there's no clock, there's no TV. I'm used to that TV up there, and it's messing me up big time. But it'll be back next week. And his mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. She gets it. She gets that she was at the bottom of the list to be chosen to have this honor. She understands this. And he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. By the way, quick note, that doesn't mean he sent them away with no money. He probably allowed them to get richer. And realize, because the more money you make, the emptier they feel. That's what that's meaning. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. See, God provides fulfillment and security in his word. See, there was a period between Mary getting pregnant with God's child and the Old Testament ending. 400 years of silence. Nobody talking. God didn't send any prophets. There was no prophets talking. There was nobody speaking anymore. And I'm sure there's people, because by the way, this is when the Pharisees got messed up in these years. The intertestamental years, the silent years. But God's never silent, so it's when the Pharisees started putting rules on top of God's law. This is where you get, well, you can't. They put what you're able to do on Sunday and not considered it work. Okay? Like, I don't know how many it was, but you can pick 4 olives, but you can't pick 5 olives as you're working, for instance. Or you can't spit in mud, or you're making it, you could be making bricks. That's why Jesus got in trouble all the time. God himself knew the rules. Okay? But the Pharisees started putting rules on top of rules, on top of rules, so they could make it easier to follow the law. When indeed they were making it harder. And they were cunning too. Because you couldn't work on Sunday, but you could own slaves, and they could work outside the city on Sunday for you. Cunning. Because they're going to hell anyway, because they're not Jewish. But God gave prophecies throughout the whole Old Testament. You see, the Old Testament, Jesus is in every page, by the way, of the Bible. Not just the New Testament. He's in every page of the Bible. Okay? You have to look for him, but he's there. Because in the Old Testament, Jesus is concealed. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, he's revealed. in the epistles he has preached, and in Revelation he is anticipated his return. That is the Bible. He's in every single page of it. And we need to realize that. And when God makes promises, he keeps them. He never said when it was going to happen. He said it was going to happen. See, so Mary, knowing, being a good Jewish girl, knew the prophecies, knew what was going to come. Obviously, she probably never even dreamt that it was going to be her, or maybe in the back of her mind, she dreamt it could be her. I don't know, because one day I might ask her when I get to heaven. And I'll tell you a funny story about Mary, because my grandchild goes to Catholic school right now. So they said, you have to write on this piece of paper, it was, pray to Mary. What are you going to pray for Mary for? And he said, for his mum to get skinnier. Is it skinnier? To run faster and to get skinny. I said, my daughter shows me, I said, that's okay. He prayed to Mary, it's not going to work. But he knows he prays to Jesus, but they on the piece of paper, it says, pray to Mary. And then, so I just thought it was funny because of the things he asked to pray for Mary to. I'm thinking, that was weird, Canaan, but you are weird sometimes. But he fulfills his promises. The security we have in the fact that we can look to Christ and continue to look for Christ is because did Jesus promise that he was coming back? Yeah. So I'm going to go on his future promises too. He promised that he's coming back. He didn't say when, by the way. Actually, he actually says, that's why I have no desire to go through the Bible and say, hey, are we in the end times yet? I'll know when we're in the end times because Jesus will come back. Sometimes I think we're getting close because of everything that's going on, but there's been wars and famine and all this stuff going on for centuries. I don't know when it's going to happen. Don't really care when it's going to happen. And I'll tell you why I don't care. Why I don't care is because Jesus said, no one knows but the Father. Jesus chose not to know. Because he didn't say, the Father and I don't know, but I'm not going to share it with you. He says, no one knows but the Father. Obviously, God's keeping a secret. Jesus probably knows now, but he chose to not know when he was living on this. But one day, Jesus is coming back. One day he is coming back. And I believe that's going to happen because this is why I believe that's going to happen. Because all of the promises before that, that said there was a Messiah coming, and he came. And he lived a life that we couldn't live. And then he went to the cross to pay for our sins. Past, present, and future sins. Not just the old sins. And Genesis 12, 2 through 3 says this. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse you, and in you all the families. By the way, anybody who says the message of salvation or the message of God was not for all people hasn't read the Old Testament properly. Because this was a promise to Abraham. And in that promise, he says, I will make you a blessing to all people. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's all the families. That's not some of the families. That's not only the Israelite families. That's all the families. And that blessing comes true when Mary is singing this song. She is filled with Jesus Christ, the person who's going to be the finished work of this promise. Jesus is the finished work of this promise. Because who's really going to bless all people? Jesus. But he used Abraham's line all the way through to share this blessing. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And Mary understood that. Mary had been taught this. And that is probably why last week when we said Mary was just quick to say yes, because Mary would have known where she came from. Mary would have known that she was in the line of David. Mary would have had all that information. And she said, yes, I will do what you ask. And now she's staying with her relative in the last text, and we don't have any more points, thank God. But it says Mary remained with her about 3 months. So basically, she stayed there to right before or right at the same time that John was being born. Because she was 6 months pregnant. Mary got there 6 months pregnant. She's leaving 3 months later. So she either left at the, at, either she met, she helped with John's birth and then went back to be with Joseph, and Joseph did the wedding thing and whatever he did at that point. Or she left right before John was born. The Bible's not clear on that, so it doesn't matter. It's not information that we need. I'm just saying she was there through basically the rest of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Probably helping. I mean, how awesome was that? That you've got this forerunner that is called to bring the word and to point to Jesus. Mother being helped by Mary, because she's in her early pregnancy, so she could probably help a little bit more than Elizabeth's getting big now. And Mary was probably great help for Elizabeth in that stage. And she stayed with her and cared for her. Mary was obviously a wonderful person. Because she could have just went there and left, but she stayed. We could be like that. See, what this message is what it means to everybody is the same thing. The Savior of the universe was conceived inside of Mary to save us. Now, what we do with it, that's individual. We can either choose to walk with God and follow him and worship him and admire him and lift up his name because it is great. Lift up his name. Or we can choose to just come to church on Sunday and pay our hell insurance. And then go do whatever we want in the week and not continue to worship him and not continue to follow him and not continue to serve him. But we'll be back in church next Sunday doing the same thing again. And we'll do the same thing over and over and over and over again until we realize there's more to life than Sunday church. There's more to life than just worshiping God on Sunday mornings. I think we should get together as a family. I believe it's biblical. I believe we should be doing life together. But we should take it to every aspect of our life. We should be serving him every day of the week. We should be using our time, talents, and treasure to serve him, not because we have to. Because just like Mary, Mary got to be the mother of Jesus. We get to be used by God. I live my life that way. I get to be used because I don't deserve it. I understand that. And if you understand that you don't deserve to be a part of God's kingdom, that you get to be and you get to work for him and you get to be a part of his work, that he will use you if you let him, even though you're broken. And he could definitely find somebody better than me to do this. But he chooses the broken. He chooses the people that he wants to use. And you've just got to allow him to do that. You have to be like Mary and allow him to use you in your life. So, I want you to read. We're not going to go through all these verses next week, so you don't have to read them all. You can just read, it'll be 57 through 66 is what we're going to, through 66 we're going to go through next week, but you can read the whole thing because after 66, 67 through 80, we're going to do when I get back for Palm Sunday, but the sermon is, his name is John, right? And I just imagine Zachariah go, his name is John. No, we're not going to call him little Zach. So, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can learn so much from your word. If we allow it to impact our heart, our minds, and our soul, that because of you and what your Son has done for us, we can submit our lives to you. And we can choose to follow you, not just one day a week, not just for a few hours a day, but every day and every hour of them days. We can choose to follow you and lift up our hearts to you. And when we worship with everything that we have, not because we have to, because we get to worship you. Because you chose us as your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.